This week's presenting sponsor of the Infamous Podcast is once again the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. The Ohio Toy and Comic Show takes place on Sunday, July 23rd at the Fairborn Dayton Holiday Inn, right across the street from Wright State University. Doors open at 10 a.m. and admission is only $2 for adults. Kids 12 and under are free. They'll have artists, vendors, cosplayers, and hourly door prizes. Plus, you get a chance to meet me and Johnny at the Infamous Podcast table. We'll have shirts for sale and other great giveaways. Find out more information about the guest list and vendors and who all will be at the Ohio Toy and Comic Show at www.ohiotoyandcomicshow.com, or you can find them on Facebook. See you at the show. Hey, welcome back to episode 101. What?
Oh.
They can hear that.
I'm not used to hearing that, so.
Here, let me mute the stuff that I'm supposed to normally mute. There we go.
Okay.
That just threw me off.
Hey, welcome to episode 101 of the Infamous Podcast. This is the last in our series of action monster movies. Action movie monsters, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And this week, we are talking about the 1987 classic.
Dead or Alive, you're podcasting with me.
RoboCop. So I alluded to this last week, if you guys listened, which
I'm sure you did. Happy anniversary to RoboCop, too, because it's its 30th anniversary this year, too.
It is later this year.
July.
It came out in July. In a couple weeks. Anywho, I had forgotten how much I enjoyed Predator.
Yeah.
And I had said going in, this was my favorite.
RoboCop?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was thinking that maybe Predator was my favorite, but no, RoboCop's still my
favorite. Your favorite?
So, but yeah, but before we get to that, we actually have some news to talk about this week because it seems like a ton of stuff has happened since we last talked to you guys.
Should we do it like the RoboCop? Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
They do that at the beginning.
I know
of
they
RoboCop.
Do. It's awesome. So, all right. So,
Lisa Gibbons.
Yeah, it was. The cast is, I love the cast in this movie. Okay. So, the first thing for News Bites this week is the Han Solo solo film.
We're just going to call it the Battle of Tanab.
There you go.
Because I get the feeling that's what it's.
It takes place from 18 to when he gets the Millennium Falcon.
Well, remember, they mentioned that thing where Lando Calrissian, when he's made a general in Return of the Jedi, how he says, someone must have mentioned the Battle of Tanab. Yeah. I'm like, obviously, we're probably going to get to see the Battle of Tanab.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So,
or the Kessel Run, one or the other.
Well, I definitely think we'll see the Kessel Run.
That's in the sequel.
Yeah. Well, so Christopher Miller and Philip Lord were fired.
Yeah.
So did you read
any
I didn't read the whole thing. Okay.
I read one article where they were thinking that Ron Howard was going to be main director,
and
that they were let go.
But that's approved now. So that's the other thing. But so apparently she had a problem with their process.
Okay.
And it just literally led to creative differences.
Because they were slow, or
I think they probably aren't as disciplined on the set as Kathleen Kennedy's used to working with.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I mean, they did the 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, the Lego movie.
Right.
They're used to working with
like, comedy,
hardcore comedians.
Right.
And, you know, Star Wars isn't necessarily funny. It has funny moments.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, so this is interesting because there's only a few weeks left of shooting. And they haven't moved the date back. It's still coming out on May 18th next year.
Ron Howard's just coming in and cleaning up whatever.
Apparently. So, yeah, so it came out that
it's kind of like Joss Whedon did with Justice League, where Zack Snyder had to pull out and Joss Whedon came in to finish up.
But Joss Whedon was coming into that movie anyway to help with the reshoots.
Well, right. But so that wasn't happening until Zack Snyder's family tragedy happened.
Well, no, it wasn't that he took over. Joss Whedon was involved regardless.
I never heard that.
It came out that he was.
Oh, okay.
He was helping with the reshoots.
Okay.
So, but apparently that's way bigger than what it was supposed to be, because they built a whole new set piece that looks like the Hall of Justice.
I think that whatever was going on with Zack Snyder's family was impeding him on the movie anyways.
Yeah, so,
and just, you know, that was smart of him to do that. I mean, you can't just go.
No. Well, I mean, but Warner Brothers said, we'll wait. We'll push the movie back, which is the right thing to do.
Which would have been fine, too, because I think Justice League would have been better as a March movie than as a November movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
see what happens.
It's going to be a quite a fight during November.
Between that and Thor.
Thor and there's something else, too.
Yeah, there's a...
Probably a Disney... There's a Disney Pixar movie.
Yeah. All right.
Which it doesn't even matter what it is because it has Frozen at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, well,
it has a Frozen short at the beginning, so it already made its money.
Yeah. The other person that Lord Miller had a run-in with was Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with Lawrence.
No,
Kasdan.
You don't want to mess with Larry. So, so there's a lot of fallout from this, right? So not only is a new director coming on,
sure,
who is a wildly different kind of director,
yeah,
but apparently the Directors Guild is going to get involved and have, I guess there's an article there. It's in
a
the
union
links.
Thing.
Yeah, it is, and it's about like. Who gets the credit and that kind
of
stuff.
All
and
three of them, I would say. You know.
But, like, they have rules.
If they directed a lot of the movie and Ron Howard's just coming in to finish it up.
Right.
Ron Howard could say, I don't need a credit.
Okay, so if you remember Sin City with Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez actually left the Directors Guild to make that movie.
Right.
So he could co-direct it with Frank Miller.
Right.
Now, I believe the rules have changed since then, where obviously you have Miller and Lord directing together.
Sure.
You have Lindelof and Cuse.
Right.
Directing together and things like that for stuff.
Sure.
So, but no, it's just really interesting. It's a bit of drama.
Well, I mean, the Russo brothers.
Right.
Is an example.
Right.
Yeah.
The Wachowskis.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of drama that we don't normally see from Star Wars, which is interesting, and it shows.
I think it's just one of those things where, on a professional level, you know what kind of producer Kathleen Kennedy is. I mean, you look at the movie she's done, and you're like, you know, she's a serious producer, a serious businesswoman, and it's like, just go with the flow. Do what they tell you to do. You're being paid.
She came up with Spielberg.
Right.
You
but
know,
it's one of those things where I look at it like this. Even if my job sucks, I still do what I'm asked to do. I get paid to do what I'm asked to do.
And you complain about it the entire time you're doing it.
You know, I may, you know, talk back and stuff like that, but I still get it done.
Right.
And it's like, that's the thing. It's like, if she wants it the way that Lucasfilm wants it, because she is Lucasfilm now, do what she says.
Right. No.
That's why I volunteered to direct. Finish it.
Yeah. I did anyone comment back?
No
did
one commented back, but I tagged Lucasfilm in it.
Did
I
you
was
hear,
like,
did
I was
hear
so
from
hoping,
Pablo or anybody?
I was so hoping that like somebody would just respond from
some
Lucasfilm.
Snarky.
Like,
no, thank you.
Not even snarky, but like just like, thanks for your, you know.
Thanks, but no.
Yeah.
Go away, fanboy.
Yeah.
So. All right. So.
I'm not. Well, that's the thing. I'm a fanboy, but I'm not like hardcore crazy fanboy type. That like, I'm just saying like, I'll come in and do whatever you want.
I mean that metalwork.
You want me to point the camera that way? I'll point the camera that way.
That metalwork you did on your car to make it look like Slave One.
No,
that
messes with insurance and stuff like that. Anyway. That's special circumstances.
It's
insurance.
The movie fanboys.
Just because I have like. You know, the Knight 2000 out front.
The movie fanboys.
I
you
remember.
Know, his van has got R2-D2 on the top. His horn is
Can you
Chewbacca.
Imagine what the insurance payments are because you're altering your vehicle?
I don't know. Does that change
that
it a lot?
Changes okay. the insurance
I've
payment.
Never...
You know. I mean, you just common knowledge of what the insurance companies look at. I'm like, you alter your vehicle to the point where you might be not able to
Where you have
drive.
An Astromech sticking out of the back.
You distract people when you're driving, that type of stuff. Yeah.
All right. So the next bit is Game of Thrones this week dropped the second trailer.
Yeah.
And you haven't watched it yet.
No, I haven't watched
it. So we're gonna listen to it and watch it and get Johnny's reaction. So the music, right? This is the same music from the beginning of the final episode of the last season.
Oh, okay.
And it's haunting. But it opens with Sansa and Littlefinger and all of that. You see a lot more of Jon Snow.
The king.
You see...
Or queen.
The queen. You see Theon. You see Daenerys. There's a scene with Beric Dondarrion, which, like, you know, got me all excited. And, you know, the flaming sword is back. So I imagine he's talking to Daenerys there.
Maybe.
It's always been real.
That's cool.
It looks so good.
Yeah. I mean, this season, just from the first preview, looked more cinematic and definitely this. Yeah, that's a big-ass dragon.
Well, and so it's a shorter season, but longer episodes.
Yeah.
And the season finale is going to be 2 hours.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
When the snows fall and the white winds blow, the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
So that's an interesting turn right there. You have Sansa.
Yeah.
Like, is she going to turn on Jon?
I don't think so.
I mean, Littlefinger was pushing for that at the end of last season, so... I don't know. It's just the whole thing.
I think that she's eventually going to find out that Littlefinger is the reason why everything bad has happened, and Littlefinger is going
to
pay.
Yeah, everything bad that's happened to her family.
Yeah.
But wow, I mean, just it looks so good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, one of the people who directs this has directed movies.
Yeah.
And directed most of these episodes. At this point, so
you're talking about Alan Taylor.
Yeah, like it looks cinematic just because of that.
I mean, so all of the directors from Game of Thrones have gone on and done a bunch of other really cool stuff too.
Right.
So it's you know it's there. But yeah, man, it was just so good.
It looks good.
So there was some Star Trek news, right?
Yeah, they finally revealed Captain Lorca.
Captain Lorca, Jason Isaacs himself.
Yep.
Is it Isaac?
Isaacs. Yeah.
So I'm kind of pumped. He's going to be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo this year.
Yeah.
So it'll be right around the time.
I'm kind of hoping that they have that picture of him, you know.
Mm.
I think besides him now, if Michelle Yeoh is a main cast member, I'll need to get her as a captain.
Do you think Michelle Yeoh is going to die in the premiere?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. That's why I'm not too freaking out about her. But I'm like, he's supposed to be the captain of the Discovery.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have to get him because I've got every other captain of every other Star Trek series. And that, except Chris Pine, eventually maybe. But
he seems like he'd be a nice guy and he'd sign whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, maybe one of these days it'll be Chris Pine showing up at a convention. I'm like, I'm there.
So, oh, not that Chris Pine. It's another Chris Pine. So, all right. So then, in actual comic book news,
yeah,
because you know that was kind of the whole premise of the show when we started. It was to talk more about comics.
And then Netflix bought us, and then now we just
The Walking Dead bought us.
Oh yeah, that's right. The Walking Dead sponsored us for a while,
and then
now Netflix sponsored.
And then Game of Thrones bought us. So, and Game of Thrones is buying us again
because we can watch it and talk about it. Because
you can watch it in real time because you have HBO Now.
Yeah.
So HBO Now bought us. How about that?
There you go.
Did you watch the end of The Leftovers yet?
I haven't watched that. I watched that season yet.
All right.
So, I didn't realize it was over until 2 weeks after it was.
All right. So here's the thing. Is I wish I would have waited for the season to end and just binged it.
Oh, so I'm going to be in a better place.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I
I don't binge it all at once.
Because I've since binged it all and it worked much better.
Yeah, but I could binge it over a few days.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only eight episodes.
I think
episodes,
like,
so.
I watched the first two seasons like over a period each of like 3 days.
Okay. All right. So IDW has taken and created this Hasbroverse. Right.
Yeah. We talked about Revolution and all that.
And you can go back and find that. So
you find it in trade paperback at this point, I think.
It is, yeah. And I'll tell you what, the Transformer books have been really good.
Yeah, you read them. I don't. Sorry.
I gave up on the Mask book.
Fair enough. It's going to be over anyways.
It's ending.
Yeah.
I gave up on Rom.
Yeah, I wasn't. I wasn't ever really a big fan.
Yeah, I was a fan of him with the X-Men.
Okay,
you know, but, and then G.I. Joe, I come and go on that book based on the story arc.
G.I. Joe, right. I come and go.
So they're doing this Hasbro comic book event.
Yeah,
where
this is the yearly crossover at this
point. And this is funny because of Sarah's friend, General Joe Colton, who's the original G.I. Joe,
yeah,
is going to take the fight directly to the Transformers homeworld of Cybertron. So this is a 6-part bi-weekly series that's going to, it's got a ton of great writers, but it features everyone from Revolution last year. So it's got G.I. Joe, Rom, Micronauts, Mask, Action Man, and the Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the, you know, trying to get rid of the Transformers.
My Little Pony's not showing up.
That would be, they're Hasbro.
Exactly.
So, but
Strawberry Shortcake and My Little Pony come out of their dimensions.
Is
Strawberry Shortcake was owned by Kenner, which is owned by Hasbro.
But is Rainbow Bright, is she a Hasbro?
No, she was LJN or somebody.
Okay, but so this is going to be interesting because it's a whole complete event,
mm-hmm.
right? It's 6 issues. There's not like a whole bunch of tie-ins or anything like
right.
that.
Right,
like Revolutions did.
Revolutions overdid it, yeah.
But so this is, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this works with the, you know, the other parts of the Hasbroverse plotting against the Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it pretty much like the Transformers haven't taken over Earth, but they're governing?
So Earth is now part of like the Cybertronian Council.
Okay.
So like, you know, they're a part of the larger galaxy.
Okay.
And I think the humans and General Colton are gonna be like, yeah, no, we don't want to be a part of the larger galaxy.
Okay.
We're xenophobic.
Okay.
We'll
just send a certain planet eater your way. His name's Unicron. When he shows up, you know, tell him Optimus Prime sent you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been reading the Optimus Prime book.
I did pick up the one that came out last week. I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
With Jazz on the cover, because I was like, "Oh, Jazz!" It's like,
yes.
Cool. And then I was reading while I read the blip about what it is, and I'm like, okay, this should be interesting.
So, and then I've been reading the Lost Light series,
which is the ship and group. Okay,
and it's got Hot Rod. And
right. Yeah.
So, but no. So this will be really interesting, and it's fun to see. And I've really, for the last few years now, enjoyed these IDW crossover events.
IDW does good stories.
The Contagion one. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So the only problem with Contagion is we didn't get the payoff until Revolutions with all of the characters in the books together.
Right.
The thing that brought Contagion together was the virus
going through all the
different, you know, quote unquote dimensions.
Yeah. I've read some of those.
You know, and having the turtles and kind of that kind of stuff. All as a part
of that. Yeah, I mean, they've done
the
crossover with the Turtles and the Ghostbusters.
Right.
And which I've never read, but seems interesting.
I tried the Ghostbusters book. I just couldn't get into it. And Turtles is another one where I come and go based on the story arc with the trade.
Yeah, I think I've got the first issue of the Turtles Ghostbusters crossover, but I've never read it.
Speaking of trades, the week we're recording this, Descender, the volume 4 came out.
Oh, okay.
And it's the end of this first story.
Okay.
So this was like the finale, and then it's like Descender Rise of the Machines
Did
or something like that. It's
cover
the next story.
For the first part of the Invincible finale trade?
No.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Did you read that one yet?
No.
Oh, because you didn't get your books yet.
Yeah, I haven't. And I don't think I read the last issue.
What?
I misplaced it.
So I don't feel like there's a lot happening.
No, it's all going to...
Yeah, it's going to be in the last two issues.
Three or four issues.
It's going to be the last 3 pages of...
I think the last book will be in the future.
Yeah, it'll be an epilogue.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, Mark in charge of Earth and, you know, that whole thing we've seen in the time travel.
I don't know. There was a pretty sweet twist at the end of this one.
Yeah.
That it's like, ooh.
But, I mean, you know, the time travel thing has to tie into it, because otherwise Kirkman just wrote that and it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that could have happened too.
Kirkman doesn't do that though.
No, that's true. All right. So that,
even though Rick and Shane did show up in a story and never showed back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. You ready to talk RoboCop?
Sure.
So, yeah. I think this movie holds up the best out of all of them.
Really?
I do. Mainly
even
because,
though some of the effects are kind of janky.
Well, and I'm not talking just the effects story wise. This one definitely holds up the best because we're still dealing with the same BS today.
No, it's like the writer said, what he wrote is now true.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true. That's what I'm saying. So we're dealing with the same BS today. I thought it was funny that like everything I've seen called this a cyberpunk action film, and it's like, wow, cyberpunk has changed so much in the last 30 years.
Is cyberpunk even something that people use now?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
This is the same like genre as Terminator and Blade Runner, that cyberpunk noir type of stuff.
So I always forget that Paul Verhoeven directed this.
Yeah.
And it always makes me happy when I remember Paul Verhoeven directed this.
Well, especially like if you watch Starship Troopers right after this, it's like just the continued universe.
Right.
I'm like, I said to her one time, I said, do you think that RoboCop happened in the same universe as Starship Troopers? And that it's just the future of what that, because of the news reports.
Yeah.
And the attitude of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and the cybernetics that are on people.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think that
Michael Ironside's hand looks like the guy that had the legs and everything.
And it's like, this is a shared universe and nobody's ever said anything. Same writers, I'm pretty sure.
The only effects that don't really...
Same director.
Yeah. The only effects that I feel like don't really hold up are the Ed 209 effects. And
when he falls down the steps. Yeah, it's a squealing pig.
And I don't feel like those effects held up in 1987.
Compared
to some of the stuff that was out there.
I mean, that's Phil Tippett, which is, you know, one of the guys. But, like, that scene was a miniature, and they built a miniature set.
Right.
And they didn't. I don't think their matte painter did a good job of painting the matte for RoboCop. So it looks like RoboCop's the same height as Ed at that point. So the one he blows up on this out in front of the OCP building near the end of the movie, that one looks like super realistic.
Right.
I'm like, it just took having the Ed outside instead of having it inside the building.
Right, right. The cast in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, all of these movies have had really good casts, right?
Oh, yeah. Solid, strong cast, yeah.
We have Ray Wise in this. We have Kurtwood Smith. We have Peter Weller. We have Nancy Allen. Like, this cast is so good. You have
list,
Sergeant Bogomil from Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah, Ronnie Cox. Thank you. You know, Miguel Ferreira. Ferreira. Thank you. You know, it's such a good cast. And you can tell they're all having a whole lot of fun playing these characters.
Yeah. Well, it's campy. I mean, it's a campy movie.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I was reading some of the behind-the-scenes stuff on this.
Okay.
Verhoeven's first American movie.
Okay. So, that explains a lot.
Yeah. So, like, when he read the script, he said the first time that he read the script, he got 3 or 4 pages in and threw it in the garbage. And his wife fished it out and read the whole thing and told him he needed to go back and reread it.
Okay.
And he did, and he doesn't regret it to this day, I'm sure.
I wouldn't. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, this introduced Paul Verhoeven to America, and
hey, if it wasn't for RoboCop, we wouldn't have gotten Showgirls.
Did he direct that?
Yeah.
Wow. He also directed Hollow Man.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers, Basic Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Some good movies.
Yeah, I like Paul Verhoeven, so I'm not. I have nothing bad to say.
He's a funny guy too. Like when you watch interviews with him, he's really animated. He's actually in the movie.
Is he?
Yeah, when Ray Wise's character tries to kick RoboCop in the nuts, he's the guy that stands around real crazy in the club and that. And I'm cool.
So just fast forwarding to 2014, they remade.
Yes.
I'm using air quotes. Remade in air quotes RoboCop. Now, that movie had none of the fun or heart or just.
They tried to do it with the Samuel L. Jackson story.
Right.
Like, part of it was that what was trying to be the news reports and all that type of stuff. And it just didn't work.
Well, and I also think I mean, Peter Weller in this film sells it so, so great.
That because he comes off as just the plain old everyman.
Right. Joel Kinnaman
looks like a superhero.
He looks like a superhero.
He's Rick Flag in Suicide Squad and that.
And you know, I he's the reason I stopped watching The Killing that I couldn't get through.
Oh yeah?
Like I just couldn't get through it. I didn't like him in Suicide Squad. I definitely didn't like him in RoboCop. I kind of keep wondering how he keeps getting jobs. Now that being said, I loved him in House of Cards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot he was in
like
that.
And especially this past season, the new season that just went out.
Well, yeah, he came in later in the show.
Yeah. Seasons 4 and 5 of that show are some of the best.
I don't think I've watched season 5 yet.
Season 3, a lot of people jumped out of it.
Right.
Season 3 and 4 are one just super season. You have to watch it all, which Netflix really doesn't normally make that mistake, but whatever.
That story is what it is. I mean, you know, it's based off of an English story that actually got some limelight recently because of our apartment building burning down.
But the thing that's different is in that one, in the 2014 RoboCop,
they didn't cut his left arm off.
Exactly. It bothered me the entire time because it's like, if he's going to punch something and he's got just a human hand.
Right. Well, and it's not gonna do anything. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to make it a little different.
Right.
But the conversation happens in the original one.
Yeah.
Where Miguel Ferrer's character is like,
"We own him.
Do we need the left arm?
Yeah.
Why do we need that?"
So we already got the answer to why we don't need the left arm, and they did it. And the thing was, is I think it took away from the reveal where it was just the eyes, the brains, the lungs, and the heart. You know,
well, and it was the whole thing where like the reveal in the original was something where at the point where you're watching it, when you get to that point, you know that that's not Murphy.
Right.
That's RoboCop.
Right.
With Murphy's face on it.
Right.
But when he takes the helmet off, he starts to become Murphy.
He becomes Murphy again. And his voice changes. It becomes less robotic. It's more Peter Weller's regular voice. It doesn't have the same cadence.
Yeah. Like the news reporter that walks up to him and says, "RoboCop, what's your advice for kids? Stay out of trouble."
Yeah. And then at the end,
"What's your name, son?"
Yeah.
"Murphy."
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
"Dead or alive, you're coming with me."
Yeah.
It's my favorite line.
Well, I mean, it's the whole thing where every conversation he had up until that point where he fights Boddicker and his gang at the end with Lewis. He had every conversation he had was just the way he was programmed to talk. And when he comes into the office at the end and the whole meeting's there and Ronnie Cox loses his mind.
Right.
It's like he literally tells Dan O'Hurley, he's the old man. Mm-hmm. He says, "I can't do anything to him because my prime directive says I can't hurt any of you." And the way he's saying it is like a man.
Yeah.
But he's still the machine.
Right.
And it's like,
but the man has taken
over. The man has taken
over
and he's like, "I can't do anything. You know, the machine's controlling what I can do."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then you realize, oh, this is Murphy.
Right.
And then when he's like, "What's your name, son?" And he's like, "Murphy." And it's like, yep.
And I think Peter Weller has just such that great voice.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
You know, it's that like deep, but like not, you know, and I don't know. So, I loved Boddicker's gang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're
all of them. Like, this is to me the quintessential 80s gang of villains. It may be even into the 90s.
They're all
they're all
sniffing coke like, continuously. Kurtwood Smith walks into the scene sniffing.
Yeah.
And it's like, geez.
I love when he's got that big, like, you know, what's the Barrett 50 cal?
Yeah.
And Ray Wise shows up with the same car and he just
Leon
has the same car.
Ray Wise is like hanging on, like, hey, he's got a car.
It still has the sticker on it.
Yeah.
yeah, it was.
And the one guy, did you watch ER?
Yeah. So
the one gang member is the head sergeant from ER.
So he in ER, I don't know if you remember. Did you watch all of ER?
He was a hard ass.
Well, he was a dick, but like he had a real problem with helicopters.
Yeah,
because the helicopter cut his arm off, and then a helicopter killed him later.
Yeah,
and I remember one of the so like iconic scenes, right? Like the Rancor stands out to me as a kid. You know, Vader taking his mask off.
Yeah.
What is his name? Anyway, the guy we're talking about.
Did you list the whole cast?
No, I don't. Oh. But it's all listed right here where I'm looking. But anyway, him like getting the toxic waste dumped on him.
Well, and he's the first one that realizes that RoboCop's Murphy.
Right.
Because he's at the gas station robbing the guy, and RoboCop rolls up and does the flip of the gun and says, "Dead or alive, you're coming with me." Yeah. And that's like, the line that Murphy had said to him, "Dead or alive, you're coming with me."
But anyway, when he gets, you're right.
Yeah.
And so, but when he gets the toxic waste poured on him.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of lumbering around.
Yeah, it's a great effect.
Like,
great effect.
That it didn't scare me.
No, it's
but it was like
it's just supposed this. To be,
this is movie magic at its finest.
Oh yeah,
and like still to this
practical
like,
effect.
The practical effect, like his fingers are falling off and the bones are sticking out. Yeah. Oh, it was so creepy.
Just
and
the droop
awesome.
Of the face and like everything,
and his tongue.
And then when he gets hit by the car,
and he just shatters.
Yeah,
you know, and oh yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah, he had the best death scene in that movie, I think.
Yeah, and then Ray Wise is so great.
Well, and he's just like. Totally plays it off like, you know, it's one of those things where he doesn't want attention,
right?
But he like pushes attention on everybody else,
yeah,
because he's the one that points out that hey, Leon's got a car just like you
he's
now.
The instigator, the shitster, if you will. You know, it kind of makes me sad that Deadpool wasn't really a thing when Ray Wise was young.
Yeah, he would have been a good,
because he would have been an amazing Deadpool.
Yeah,
he was such a good devil on Reaper. You know,
Twin Peaks.
Well, and as Leland. And then we watch Fresh Off the Boat. I don't know if you watched that one or not.
Is he on
that? He's a recurring character. He's
what
the neighbor.
What else was he on recently?
He's been on a ton of stuff.
He shows up on stuff and I'm like, hey, Ray Wise.
And it's always, hey, Ray Wise. He was Robin's dad on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, Robin Scherbatsky. But, yeah, I mean, I just love that guy. Anytime he shows up, it just makes me happy.
Yeah.
He was on Fargo.
Okay.
He was in Fargo, like Twin Peaks. He was in X-Men First Class, you know. I mean, that's just some of it. He was the Secretary of State.
Oh, okay.
So
it's been a while since I watched that.
But yeah, it's just.
I think people just call Ray Wise up now and say, hey, Ray, do you want to be in the movie for like a minute? And he's like, yeah.
Like,
sure,
remember
why
he
not?
Was in The Chase? He was Christy Swanson's dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, I love that guy.
I think this was like one of Kurtwood Smith's first or
big
first
roles.
Major
yeah.
roles and villain roles.
Yeah.
Because he usually played the nice guy. Ronnie Cox usually played the nice guy.
Right. Well, yeah, he was always like the hero or whatever. And I tell you what, RoboCop in that 70s show, it's like, oh, he survived and kind of went straight.
Yeah.
But like, he took it all out on his kid.
Yeah. Or maybe Eric was Louis Boddicker.
Yeah. there you go. He grew up to be Louis Boddicker.
There you go.
He moved to Detroit, changed his name.
When did you see that, like, most of this movie was shot in Dallas?
Yeah,
because Dallas looked like a futuristic city at the time that they were shooting this. So the only thing Detroit is the very beginning, and it's just a still shot that like was a promotional shot from Detroit.
It was like a postcard that they just put in front of the camera. They were never actually in there, which is hilarious because the second one was shot, or the 2014 one was shot in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So,
well, Atlanta's the new Hollywood.
And then they have, because Georgia gives lots of good.
Well, and they said that.
But isn't there a RoboCop statue in Detroit now?
They were like pushing for it. I don't know if it ever happened or not. But like, you can still go to Dallas and visit places that were in this movie, and they still look the same.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, because it still looks like a futuristic city, or because they've caught up with themselves finally.
Maybe a little of both.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Now, this movie's really good. The sequels really suck.
So that was the other thing that surprised
me. Did you watch any of the sequels any
I've
time
seen
recently?
Okay. And I actually read the novelization of RoboCop 2 when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I remember that one. I was surprised by how much further this franchise went.
Yeah.
So I completely forgot about RoboCop Prime Directives.
The TV series.
From 2001. Now, I remember RoboCop the series because I watched that.
Yeah.
And that was in 94. RoboCop 2, I actually kind of enjoy RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2 is
I feel
fun,
like it was the last time Frank Miller was relevant.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. It was the last time Frank Miller was good at writing.
Yeah. He directed it, too.
Yeah, and he did the same thing. He wrote RoboCop 3. I don't know if he directed it.
He didn't direct that one.
But that was a flying
horse turd.
And
Peter Weller didn't come back for that one either. That was Robert Burke.
Yeah, but it was a flying horse turd.
Oh, yeah. So, well, literally, yeah, RoboCop flies.
Exactly. So, I remember RoboCop the series. I don't remember Prime Directives. I remember RoboCop the animated series.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember RoboCop Alpha Commando.
I think it just came off of animated and became that.
Yeah, okay. So
I think there was a couple other RoboCops in that one.
And then he's got a really rich, diverse comics history. From Marvel to Dark Horse to Boom to Dynamite. Mm-hmm. I think he's currently with Boom again.
Is he?
Yeah.
He was with Avatar Press for a while.
Yeah, Avatar Press for a while. Thank you.
Frank Miller's done a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, wrote a lot of that and drawn a lot of those.
So, all right. So, we've talked about this with all the other
RoboCop
ones.
Of all of them has had more screen time than any of the other ones we've talked
about. And of all the ones we've talked about, this would be the one that would be considered a bomb.
Yeah.
So, $13 million budget, which that $13 million went a long way.
Well, yeah.
$53.4 million box office.
Yeah.
Which all the rest haven't been over 100.
Yeah. Summer of 87. Everybody was going to see Predator.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think it was just that because it was so campy that people didn't.
I think more than anything, this is a cult classic.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
One of the more higher budget cult classics.
Well, yeah.
Well, and it's the same. Like with any, it really is. Verhoeven movies become like cult classics.
Oh, yeah.
Basic Instinct. I mean, if you watch it now, it's a great movie. It's a weird movie.
It's
but
weird
it's
as
a
all
great
get out,
movie.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers. Anytime that movie's on anywhere in the movie,
I love Starship Troopers. I like the animated second one that they did. I'll even watch Marauder.
I haven't seen that one.
Starship Troopers
Which
3
one's
Marauder.
Marauder.
The one where it's got T'Pol.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, but I'll watch it.
I'd rather
I know
watch
it's
the second
terrible.
One.
Yeah, well,
the second one was better. And then I was at when we went to see Wonder Woman, there was an advertisement on their table because they have all those different movies of another one coming out that has Casper Van Dien and what's her name that plays Dizzy?
Dinah Myers.
Yeah, are both going to be in it. Awesome. I'm like, Dizzy Flores died.
So did Casper Van Dien.
Cloning them at this point.
Here we go. Anyway,
but Verhoeven's not directing it, so it's not going to be that good.
I have a correction. RoboCop 2014 was shot in Toronto and Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
And then it did additional work. It actually did some shooting in Detroit.
Oh.
So I don't know where I got Atlanta from. I thought I
Because everything's shot in Atlanta now.
Yup. I think the original RoboCop, even though RoboCop 2014 has Gary Oldman, Michael Keaton, Samuel L. Jackson,
I totally
Abby Cornish,
Gary Oldman,
Jackie Earl Haley, and what's his name from The Wire? Michael.
I just call him Scarface.
Yeah. Michael K. Williams. I think the original RoboCop does a better job with their cast.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the quote-unquote remake had some good story points.
Yeah.
And acknowledged some stuff that I think they wanted to do in the original but couldn't afford to do.
I think it looked good.
Yeah, it looked good.
I liked the black suit or the black armor on RoboCop.
I liked
was
the
cool.
acknowledging the old suit, too. Yeah.
I didn't like the hand. I didn't like Joel Kinnaman.
Well, it is the whole, it was, you know, the argument makes sense. Why do we even need a biological part to this robot?
I don't know.
This is another one where you mentioned the comic books, and I have to recommend the RoboCop versus the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
It is an awesome 4-issue story.
Yeah, there's a ton. There's actually a link in the show notes to get to like the franchise information.
Yeah.
And there's a whole link to all the different comics and that kind of stuff. There were a bunch of video games that were good.
Yeah.
The RoboCop on the NES was good. There was RoboCop the Ride for a few years.
Where was that at?
I think it was at Universal.
Really?
Let me double check. It was... I work.
So Terminator wasn't the only one with a amusement park ride.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was a motion simulator ride attraction that could accommodate between 20 and 30 guests and features an oversized screen display displaying the projection placed in front of a synchronized hydraulic activated scene. So it was like Star Tours.
So you were RoboCop. You were watching like RoboCop. Yeah,
but it was like Star Tours.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Dead or alive, you're going to puke on this ride.
Star Tours. I've never seen anybody throw up on that, but the first time that we read it when it was the original version,
it gave me a headache.
Well, we got out, and it's the first time I ever seen her green like that. And like literally we had to sit there for about 10 minutes before she could stand up.
So I told you about when we went to
Disney. Yeah, he's a back-to-back.
And so Star Tours has something like 87 different variations.
I think
it's even more now. Yeah. We got back-to-back the same one. And I got off and I had talked to the cast member. And she's like, hey, how was it? I was like, it was good. But we just wrote it and we got the exact same story. And I thought there were different stories. And she goes, you're literally the first person I've heard.
Yeah, the only time that was happening like on a normal basis with Jakku was in everything.
Well, ours wasn't even like Jakku.
Yours was like way before Force Awakens.
And it was
so like last year when we went, Jakku was there, and it was cool because you got to fly through the Star Destroyer and be chased by TIE fighters and that type of stuff. The best thing was the pod race.
Yeah.
As much as I don't like Phantom Menace, the pod race was like sweet.
Like, let's be fair. The pod race is one of the coolest things in the history of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not just because of the race, but like the aliens that are racing.
It's the first time we really get a lot of interaction with aliens in the Star Wars universe. The Nintendo 64 pod race game.
Yeah, I never played it.
When we're done here, I'm going to get it out of the closet.
Yeah.
Fire it up.
literally.
it was so much fun. Like, and I remember, it was the whole reason. So I was dating a girl, and then we're completely off topic.
Yeah.
Her little brother had it. I had gone to stay with him for the weekend. I played it with her little brother. Came home, went to Best Buy,
and bought an
N64.
Nice.
Bought that in the N64 Superman game.
Nice.
Which is the worst game ever. Like it is widely regarded as the worst video game ever. It's awful.
Yeah.
Like you can't, you get to a point where you just can't go anymore because of the glitches.
Oh, wow. Like, okay.
So I'll pull that one out too. But anyway, but yeah, I literally.
Did you have any of the RoboCop games?
No. Like, no. I did. I had the RoboCop for the original NES.
Okay.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a side scrolling Dungeons and Dragons.
Sure. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But your
Back
RoboCop
to the Future
you get to shoot
was
things.
The same way too. Yeah.
I
had Back to the Future and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and
awesome. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game for NES was probably one of my three favorite games of all time.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I didn't
have the RoboCop either. So
RoboCop, I mean, I was really surprised at how much further it seeped into popular culture.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen this movie until like, oh man, it had to have been like maybe my senior year of high school, so 93.
That's probably about when I saw it, which was my freshman year.
92, 93 was when I think I've seen this for the first time, and I'm like, this is pretty awesome.
I actually remember the first time I saw this film because my hillbilly uncle, we would go to his house, and he had one of those big giant satellite dishes.
Sure, yeah.
Like, he showed us Bloodsport and Kickboxer.
Nice.
And Top Gun and, you know, all that stuff, right?
Yes.
And, like, this was one that we watched over there.
Yep.
I actually vividly remember sitting there with popcorn on the floor on a cushion.
Nice.
With my little brother, my little cousin, and like, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The three of us like.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, eating popcorn like slack.
Then you get to the end where your guy's melting and you're like, whoo.
And I remember because I was like, that is so cool.
So I seen that picture of him, the still photo, in a Starlog way before I seen this movie.
Oh.
And I was like, man, that is a cool effect. I'm like, that's like how did they do that?
That makeup is great.
Yeah, it was literally like one of those things where you just stare at the picture of it. You don't. It's like you pause it when you're watching it, and especially with like the Blu-ray version because it's so crisp.
Oh, yeah.
You're just sitting there looking at like,
borrow the,
man,
the DVDs.
It's like... It's like, man, how did they do that?
Okay, so here's another one of those. How did they do that, right?
Yeah.
Peter Weller's face in the apparatus.
Yeah.
Like, the his face, like, kind of curls under,
right? It's sewed on type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, how did they do that? Like, I could see, I know the, how they would do that now.
Well, right. They, but he wore a blue hood.
Yeah. I mean, I'm aware.
When they shot it, he wore a blue hood. So, like, that whole thing there. They had to figure out how to make it look like that because the way the hood sat,
right,
it was weird on his head,
right,
and that. So they had so many problems with that suit,
but it looks so good.
The suit's beautiful. The I mean, suit it's beautiful, is. And he wore it. I mean, he walked around in it with that. He couldn't get in the cars,
right?
So they said that when they were shooting things, you either see him getting in.
Or getting out,
but you never see him in the car. And when he is in the car, they said like the few scenes where he is in the car,
he doesn't have the bottom.
He ain't wearing the pants. Yeah. It's like he said the one of the worst scenes for him wearing that was he had the pants off, had the upper body on, and he comes into the club, and it's music booming. He can barely see
through the slit.
He can't see the steps.
Oh,
so he had to step down the steps, but he didn't have anything to hold on to. So they had to shoot that scene multiple times because he kept slipping.
Oh.
And it didn't fall over. He catches himself on people in that. But it's like, man, if I got grabbed by one of those RoboCop arms, I bet it would hurt.
Yeah.
And that, but he said, it, you know.
And I imagine he's a pretty strong guy just in general.
He was willing to do it, though. Yeah. I mean, he's got, you know, those are that's a pretty ballsy guy that's walking around in a. Yep. Like at one point, he was losing 3 pounds a day. So they had to put an air conditioner in the thing.
Well, they had to do that for Chris Pratt with the Star-Lord mask.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't do his dialogue because they couldn't actually record it, so he had to go back and do all the ADR stuff.
But like they said that just because of how hot it was in Dallas, he was losing 3 pounds a day, and I'm like, that's a diet plan to go on to.
There you go. Get me a RoboCop suit.
Yeah, get me a RoboCop suit. I need to drop about 30, 40 pounds.
One of the things I loved most about the RoboCop suit was the feet.
Yeah.
Like they were completely flat along the bottom like a duck, but like it had the shape of toes.
Yeah. It's like they did everything to make it look human, but it looks worse.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just the design people.
And when you say it looks worse, it's not, it doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look bad to us watching it, but you imagine in that world, him getting out of a cop car. And you don't know who he is at first. Like the reaction of the guy when he comes, the first time he comes out on his own and the guy's robbing the convenience store, which was the stunt coordinator for the movie.
Oh.
And he hadn't seen him in the full costume yet. So the reaction when he looks at him come through the door
is real.
Is real. Yeah. And it's literally one of those things where it's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that would be anybody's reaction in real life if you didn't know that this thing had been made.
Right.
Like all of a sudden this robot comes walking in and it's like, what are you?
Yeah.
And then he starts shooting you and throwing you around. And it's like, you know, one of the best trivia things I read from this movie was, you know, the right to remain silent scene where he's throwing, you know, throwing Kurtwood Smith through windows as he's reading him his rights.
Right.
They were afraid that police would be offended by this.
Huh.
So they had a private screening for a bunch of police officers.
Wow.
They went
completely the other way. Like now cops, like that's how they just act.
And
right?
Literally when he's reading the rights, they said they were cheering because that's, you know, for some criminal like that, it's like, that would be what you'd want to do to that guy. And that I mean, there was funny trivia. Like, there was a guy had robbed a bank.
Yeah.
And was running from the cops and ran into a theater. And this was playing. And he got so engrossed in the movie that he sat down and started watching it. And they emptied the theater out. That's let him finish watching the movie and arrested him when he walked out.
Well, that's awesome that they let him finish watching.
Well, they wanted to get the theater evacuated. Yeah. And they left him there.
He just had no idea.
Movie finished. Was, yeah. He was so engrossed in it that he was like, oh, well, the cops are probably done. Because he thought he got away.
Oh, yeah.
He walks fine, out and they arrest him in the lobby.
Just take me away. I did like the scene where the guys had the girl and he shot through her dress and he shot the guy right in the dick.
And that was a Verhoeven thing, because Verhoeven was like, in the original script, he was supposed to shoot him in the head.
Right.
And Verhoeven was standing there watching them like practice and everything. And he said, wait a minute. He goes, instead of him shooting him in the head, why don't he shoot through her dress? Because the way she was standing, he's like, he could shoot right through
in
her
the
dress.
Effect with the targeting computer and like, you know, the math, you see the math going on. So,
yep.
Oh, that's the other thing. And this is kind of my last thing.
Yeah, sure.
Is his heads up display.
Yeah.
Like, so you sent over the awesome image that is the banner for this week's episode. And I come back and I said, hey, can you do that? Can you add the heads up display?
Because it's so pixelated.
Right.
Because it is, well, you know, a 1980s
and everything was standard def and monochrome.
So when you zoom in on that and you try and blow it up, it becomes more pixelated.
But it was really one of the first, like, times we got to have that first-person point of view.
Well, yeah, this and Predator really, like, were the first, like, you know, first-person shooter things that you got to see.
So, but with Predator, you know, the first-person point of view was
The
thermal.
Yeah.
Right. This you get to see like everything
different
that's
things,
working.
Right.
And, like, we hadn't really seen anything.
Yeah,
because
he uses
movies.
The thermal on the guy who took City Hall hostage, and it's like, okay. So,
I love that too. When he just pulls him
just
through the
reaches
wall,
through the
and
wall, and
throws him out the window.
Yeah. This is visually still a stunning movie to watch.
All right.
And I would love for them to link this and Starship Troopers together somehow.
That would be so great.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, where did my notes go?
There.
Well, these are your notes.
Well,
but all right. So, for the RoboCop franchise,
yeah,
we have RoboCop 1987.
Yes.
RoboCop 2 from 1990.
Mm-hmm.
RoboCop 3, 1993.
You don't have to watch that one.
No. Then we have RoboCop in 2014, which
go ahead and watch.
It's
it.
Worth
yeah,
watching.
It's worth. We seen it in a theater, didn't we?
Yeah, we went
with
saw
your
that
father-in-law.
Yeah. So, which he, I don't think he liked it.
He said it was okay.
Yeah.
I remember when we came out. He's like, man, it's okay.
He likes weird stuff.
Sure.
Too. Like, well, let me. He likes bad stuff. So I'm actually surprised he didn't love it. Then we have the 94 RoboCop the series, 2001 RoboCop Prime Directives. 1988 was RoboCop the animated series. 1998 to 1999 we had Alpha Commando.
Okay.
So
that's a lot of stuff.
It's there's so much cool stuff with this franchise.
Like I said, just check out the RoboCop versus the Terminator.
Yeah, check out the comics. Isn't there a RoboCop Batman crossover one too?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking something else.
RoboCop, they didn't really cross over with much, but with the Terminator story they did, it's sweet. And it's Walt Simonson art.
I'd love to see a RoboCop Punisher series. Or not RoboCop. Well, RoboCop Punisher would be cool, but RoboCop Predator series. Like,
yeah, that would
like
be
a
cool.
Real, like, you know, like, even if it's just like a animated thing, you know, so.
It'd be a lot of first-person shooter.
It would just
visuals.
Be a lot of just fuzzy thermo. No, thermals.
The thermal on RoboCop would be a lot of cold-looking steel, and then that one hot area.
Just where it's just the bottom of his face.
Yes.
I imagine that's what Batman would look like to the Predator. Like, I know it didn't, but, you know. Anyway. All right. Well, on that note, this has been a lot of fun, first off, talking about these movies.
Are we going to do a cover-up with these next week? Or
we can.
Yeah. We should pick some covers. Tie it to the comic books.
So...
we're still in the month of June, so...
we are. We haven't done our June cover-up. That'll be a good one for the end of the month.
Yeah.
All right.
So come back next week, and we'll be talking about covers for all the action monster movies. Movie monsters. Monster
action
movies.
Movie monsters.
Yes.
So, all right, guys. This has been RoboCop.
I love the 80s.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.